Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Ches, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin, Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Amarchi Yayin L'Chaveiro, if somebody sells wine to someone else, for Hichmetz, and the wine gets sour, En Echai B'Chriyusay. The seller is not responsible for any loss that occurs to the wine. Ask the Rishonim. We learned earlier in our perek, the Rav and Shmuel taught us that if wine gets spoiled within the first 3 days, we know it already got spoiled from before. So ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, why over here, when somebody buys wine, do we say that it's the loss of for the buyer, not for the seller? If it got ruined within the first 3 days, it should be clear indication that it was already souring and a poor quality by the seller, and why should the buyer take responsibility? Some Rishonim, because of this question, indeed say that our Mishnah does not follow that opinion. Others say that our Mishnah, the Rashbam explains this way, is referring to a situation that it's already, that when the Mishnah says that it's the buyer's responsibility, it means only after the 3 days after it was sold. Further teretz that the Rishonim give, as we're going to learn in a moment, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach in the Gemara, that there's an afkamina if this happened if the wine was spoiled in the barrel of the seller or in the barrel of the buyer. And they will say that even though Rav and Shmuel say that if wine gets spoiled within the first 3 days, it was already getting spoiled from before, that's strictly if it's still in the seller's barrel. But as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there is an opinion that explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that's in the buyer's barrel. Once it's in the buyer's barrel, Rav and Shmuel's din don't apply. Because Rishonim explain a very interesting concept, which we're going to use again in our shiur. And that is that the transfer of the wine from barrel to barrel has a detrimental effect on the wine, which causes it to spoil. So again, it says the Mishnah, Amarchi Yayin L'Chaveiroi, when somebody sells wine to somebody else for hechmetz and it gets spoiled, En Echai B'Chriyusay, the seller is not held responsible. However, Vim Yidua Shiyene Machmetz, if this wine has a tendency to spoil, we know that the wine of this seller has a tendency to spoil, then Hareza Mekhtos, and the money should be refunded. Says the Mishnah, Vim Amaloi, if the seller said to the buyer, Yayin Mevusim Ani Moichalach, I'm selling you good wine, flavorful wine, then Chayiv L'Hamtun Aratzeres. The wine that's sold has to be able to last until Shavuos. The Mefarshim explain why, the Rishonim explain why till Shavuos, because till Shavuos time is when it starts getting hot. And once it gets hot, that's when the wine begins to spoil. The heat has a bad effect on the wine, and that's why until Shavuos, the wine is, until Shavuos, the wine has to be good. Afterwards, it's no longer the seller's responsibility. Here too, the Mefarshim make a number of very important points. The Rishonim say, when our Mishnah speaks about wine being good until Shavuos, it's not that the Mishnah means to say that it has to be good exactly until Shavuos or not good until Shavuos. What the Mishnah means to say the Rishonim, is it has to be quality wine, good enough that it could last through the season. It's not the Shavuos part that's the focus. The focus part is that it has to be good, that it could be able to last for a certain amount of time. Furthermore, point out the Rishonim, that if the wine that we're discussing here was sold only in the summer, so again, since as we said a moment ago, during the summer the wine does not last that well because of the heat because of the heat. That's why the halach is that in the summer, the even if one sold yayim avusim, the din is different, and you can't hold the seller responsible if something were to happen to the wine. Yoshin, if somebody says, I'm selling you old wine, Michel Shtaket. He has to sell him wine from the last year. Miyushin, if the seller told the buyer, I'm selling you yayin miyushin, the halacha is aged wine means gimel shanim, means that the wine is 3 years old. And again, that the point is not the 3 years or the 1 year, the point is, as the Mefarshim always point out, the quality of the wine. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, this rule that we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if the wine gets spoiled, it's the responsibility of the buyer, not of the seller, is Lo Yishana El B'Kankanim D'Lakeich. If the wine gets spoiled in the barrels of the buyer, Abba Kankanim D'Moicher, if they get spoiled in the kalim of the seller, Amalei, the buyer can say to the seller, Hai Chamra Faha Kankancha, here, take back your wine, take back your barrels, and I don't have to take responsibility. And as the Rishonim point out, and we made this point a little earlier, what's the difference between the buyer or the seller's barrel? They point out that when it's in the buyer's barrel, the transfer of the wine from the barrel of the seller to the barrel of the buyer, that transfer, when it's exposed to the air, could have a very detrimental effect on the wine. And that's why, once it's transferred into the buyer's kalim, the seller cannot be held responsible. Prior to that, however, as the Gemara says, Hakan Kancha, take your wine, and I should not be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, V'chika Karim the Meicher, even if it's in the seller's kalim, why can't the seller say to the buyer, Leimalei, Leibailachalashuye, you shouldn't have held the wine for this long. If you wouldn't have held on to the wine, then the wine wouldn't have spoiled. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Somebody who buys wine, is he expected to drink up the wine immediately? Some Rishonim actually say that yes, it is the responsibility of, in those days it was customary to drink up the wine quickly, and since it was customary to drink up the wine quickly, it is the responsibility of the buyer to have drank the wine quickly before it could get spoiled. However, other Rishonim, because of this question, have a different interpretation as the Ritva, have a very different interpretation as Gemara. And they, in fact, explain that the Gemara is referring to a situation where the wine is, where the wine spoiled, not immediately. Because were the wine to spoil immediately, you can't have any claim to the seller has no claim. What happened over here is that it spoiled after a certain amount of time, where the seller could say to the buyer, if you would have drank the wine during this time, we wouldn't have had any of these problems. Lamele, so that's why the seller should be able to say to the buyer, you shouldn't have waited, you should have drank the wine quicker, and we wouldn't have had any issues. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Amalei LeMikvah, where the buyer said to the seller, I'm buying the wine for cooking, as we learned earlier in our parak. Wine that's bought for cooking is not used up that quickly, and since it's not used up that quickly, it remains, what do you call it, but because you only use a little at a time, and therefore that's why the seller has to supply wine that can be used over a longer time, and if it remains in the original barrel, he has to refund the money if the wine gets spoiled. So now, with the way Rabbi Yossi has explained our Mishnah, He said 2 points. Number one, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the wine is in the buyer's kalim, and furthermore, it was said that the seller told the buyer that the wine was suitable for cooking. Ask the Gemara, Omai Durkid Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Why did Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina explain that our Mishnah is referring, Lok Milamasnis Makakanam de Loikeach, that's referring to case where the wine was in the buyer's barrel, or the Amalei Mikvah, and where the buyer told the seller that he's buying the wine for cooking? Why not explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, Lok Milamasnis Makakanam de, let's say that the Mishnah is even referring to a situation where the wine was left in the seller's barrel. However, it was never specified that the wine is being sold for cooking. And since it wasn't specified that the wine was sold for cooking, so therefore, the wine should have been used quickly, and that's why the seller would not be held responsible. Because the only reason Rabbi Yossi said that the Mishnah is referring to a case where the buyer transferred the wine to his own container, because we said that the Mishnah is referring to quality wine which is supposed to last. But if our Mishnah was speaking about any kind of wine, then the seller would always be exempt from responsibility, because he always could say to the buyer, Lo yibayecha lo yishuyei. And therefore, ask the Gemara, why do we have to say that the Mishnah is referring to cooking wine? And once we said that it's talking about cooking wine, we had to say that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the wine was transferred into the buyer's kalim. Let's not say that it's talking about cooking wine, and then we won't have to say that it was transferred into the buyer's kalim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava says, Masnisin Kashisi. We had to explain our Mishnah that is referring to cooking wine anyway, because there was an inherent issue in our Mishnah. The Tani, because our Mishnah continued to explain that im yidua shiyeirim machmetz, if it's known that this person wine gets spoiled, hareza mekachtos, then it's considered a mekachtos. So the question is, why is it automatically a mekachtos? Again, ask the Gemara, leimalei, why can't the seller say to the buyer, you should not have kept the wine so long? And even though it has this tendency of spoiling, the buyer should not be able to have a valid claim to the seller, because the seller could tell to the buyer, even though I knew that my wine is poor quality wine, I expected you to use it up quickly, and because I expected you to use it up quickly, that's why I didn't bother telling you that it has a propensity to get spoiled. Elav shma mina. Our Mishnah must be referring dam leila mikvah, where the buyer told the seller, I'm buying this wine for cooking. And therefore, if the seller knows that his wine doesn't last, he should have never sold such wine to the buyer. So shma mina. So we already have a proof that our Mishnah is referring to mikvah wine, good quality cooking wine. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina explained the ratio of the Mishnah also that's referring to such good wine. Upligid Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Rav Yosi interpretation says that if the wine was bought for cooking and it was in its original vessel, then the seller will be held responsible. But this is in contrast to the opinion of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Chamra mazel the marigorim. Wine is the status of the wine, the quality of the wine, if it remains good or bad, is really determined by who is the owner. Shenamer af ki yayin boiged gever yayin. To somebody who is arrogant, his wine betrays him. So here too, so therefore, even though it wasn't transferred, but if it is owned now by the buyer and it gets spoiled, according to Rav Chanina by Yosef, it will be the buyer's responsibility under all times. And I saw a beautiful pshat. We learned that the mazel, what is it, mazel or gaiva? Yar means gaiva. So what is the status of the wine dependent on? So I saw a beautiful pshat, and this is really very much in what we're going to be learning now in the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand Bali Gaiva. So when somebody becomes a Bali Gaiva, even though a different member of Klal Yisrael, we know Ein Mazal Yisrael, there is no Klal Yisrael are not subject to the regular Mazalus. Somebody who's a Bal Gaiva is in a totally different class. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says regarding such a person, Ein ani v'hu yichoylu nodu yachad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he cannot coexist. And because he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot coexist, he falls out of the status of a regular Ben Yisrael. And once he falls out of the status of a regular Ben Yisrael, the halacha is that the mazel, which the rest of the world is affected by, will affect this individual also. Or Rameri, in fact, says Rameri, Haiman the Yar, somebody who's arrogant, Afila Inche Beisle Mekabel, even the people of his own home cannot withstand him. Shnemer, Gever Yar Veloy Yenove, Mai Veloy Yenove, Benove Shaloy, in his own home, he cannot successfully exist. And as the Mefarshim explained, one pshat that I saw is a beautiful pshat. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ish V'Isha, a husband and a wife, Shechina Shuri Beinayim. The Shechina remains between the two of them. That's why we know the Yud of the Ish and the Hay of Isha represents the Shechina. However, so in other words, what keeps a marriage together? What keeps an Ish and Isha together? What keeps an Ish and Isha together is the Yud and the Hay, the Shechina that exists between these two individuals, the Shechina that exists between these two individuals. But somebody who's a Bal Gaiva, so as I just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot coexist with a Bal Gaiva. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot coexist with a Bal Gaiva, so that's why the Shechina isn't in that home. And if the Shechina, Chas V'Sholem, is not in that home cannot, Chas V'Sholem, have a kiyum, cannot continue to exist. Another pshat that I saw is from the Yarish Dvash. The Yarish Dvash says a very interesting pshat. He says that if somebody, Chas V'Sholem, is a Bal Gaiva, so what happens is he first acts arrogantly towards his family, and after acting arrogantly towards his family, he gets that terrible trait of gaiva, and he starts acting that way even towards other people. So says the Yarish Dvash, that's why the Gemara focuses on the family, because unfortunately that's where this terrible cancer begins. The cancer of gaiva begins at home, and then it spreads past the home. And he says a very beautiful pshat based on this. He says that the Gemara says, famous Gemara Masech the Brachas, that Reb Gamliel was removed from his nesius because he acted somewhat arrogantly. Says the Gemara that Rabbi Gamliel, that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's the famous time when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed, and he said, Harei ani ben Shimshana, because he was really only 18 years old. So, as they came to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to appoint it, he said, Eilech v'imlech ben Shebesi. I want to go consult with my family members if I should take this position. So, Mefarshim asked, what does it mean the Eilef Ben Shabesi? So Pasha Pshara means that he wanted to get there okay before he took the position. But another Pshat that I saw says the Yaris Tavash is as follows. Rav Elazar ben Azariah recognized that Rav Gamliel lost his position because of the fact that he was a Baal Gaiva. So he was concerned that maybe he has this same terrible trait of being a Baal Gaiva. So what's the point of taking this position, and he'll be removed from the position also fairly quickly because of Gaiva. So what he did was, he went and checked with his family. By checking with his family, as we just said from the Yaris Tavash, Gaiva, unfortunately, begins at home. By checking with his family first, and his family seeing that he acts properly, that would show that he is a person that he's a good person, and therefore he can be prepared to take on the position. Other Mefarshim explained the Gemara differently. The Mashah says that Rameri here is referring to an unmarried person who, because he's maybe able to deceive his future bride into believing that he's a person of superior qualities. But Rameri says that ultimately she, once they live together, will discover who he really is. And there's a fascinating Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah paskens l'alocha. There's always an issue, what is a person supposed to do when he goes to the bathroom? Because the halacha is, when a person goes to the bathroom, he's not allowed to think about Divrei Torah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when a person goes to the bathroom, what he should do is, he should think about shiflus atzmai. He should think about how a person is really not that much. A person is made out of flesh and bones, and he's really not that much. And a person will think about shiflus atzmai, that he is really not that great. He'll think how terrible it is to be a Baal Gaiva. That is what a person is supposed to do while he's in the bathroom. Because a person is always supposed to be thinking how terrible the midah of Gaiva is. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained that we know that a Metzairah, if somebody chas v'sham becomes Metzairah, the Torah says, bodid yeshev mechutz l'machna. He has to remain outside of the machna. Why? Why is that the particular punishment that is given to a Metzairah? Say the Mefarshim, based on our Gemara, it's very understandable. Because the oinish, the punishment of tzaras, comes to a person because he's a Baal Gaiva. And our Gemara is saying that a person who's a Baal Gaiva, people cannot coexist with him. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't live with him, his family can't live with him, and that's why he should go Mechutz L'machna, he can't be together with everybody else. Says the Gemara further, Amar Yudah Merab, Kalam is Gav V'Talash of Talmud Chochem, somebody puts on the beggar of a Talmud Chochem, and when he really isn't a Talmud Chochem, that is the way most Mefarshim explain the Gemara. That Mizgob, Talmud Chacham means that Talmid Chacham would wear different type of clothing. The Rashbam said Talmid Chacham would wear longer clothing, and a person who's not really Talmud Chacham has no right to put on those begadim or that type of begadim. And he does put on such a Talmud begad. Kalam Mizgob, Talmud Chacham, Vein Talmud Chacham. Will not be let into the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Beis HaMikdash, Shamata, the Shamala, in our world and in the next world, are all very similar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot coexist with somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham. I saw another pshat called Mezgav Atal Talmud Chacham, is that if somebody says over Divrei Torah from a Talmud Chacham, when he really, it's not, as, and makes people believe as if it's his real, as if it's his Divrei Torah, when it's really not his Divrei Torah, such a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand. Amar Rava, Haiman Dezom Lechamit, Chavita Dechamel Lechanvah, if somebody sells a barrel of wine to a shopkeeper, Adat l'svuye. And here we have machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim explain what the Gemara means is it's referring to a commission type of sale, where the chenveni, the shopkeeper, is going to collect commission. Others explain what it means is this way. Tosfos explains that when somebody gives wine to a shopkeeper, he realizes that the wine will be sold slowly. The shopkeeper does not sell large volume of wine at a time. And therefore, if the talk of a pago or tilsa, the wine becomes spoiled when there's half a barrel or a third of a barrel still left, dino de makabel lamine, the seller has to take responsibility. However, says the Gemara, v'leimaron el d'leishanim v'birza, this is only if the storekeeper did not change the spigot where the wine was being poured out of the barrel from, because that is a very crucial part in maintaining the quality of the wine. Because if the spigot where the wine is poured out is in a bad place, then that wine will be spoiled. So if the shopkeeper changed the spigot, he will be held responsible, not the owner of the wine. Furthermore, v'leimaron el d'leimata yom d'shuka, that the market day hasn't come. Ava mata yom d'shuka, if the market day has already passed, loy, then the seller is not responsible. Because the seller can always say to the buyer, you should have taken it to the market on that day, and you would have been able to sell all of the wine on that day, because that's the day that there's a large market for wine. By you not doing it, I should not be held responsible. Vomarova, Haiman Makabel Chamro. And the way that we showed him explained the case that our Gemara is now going to discuss, we spoke about this type of business relationship many times in Masechta Babetzia, is what's known as an iska. An iska means that we have two people. One has money and the other has knowledge or time to run a business. So they enter into the following business relationship. They enter into a relationship where the seller, where the one person provides all of the capital for the business, and the other person gives the management of the business. In this case that we're referring to, what it means is that the seller, that the one gives the wine and one will sell the wine. And that's what happened here. Haiman Makabel Chamra, somebody accepted upon himself wine. Adata the Mantalela Perasa Dazal Shafet. But here the person who provided the wine gave instructions that the wine should be taken to the city of Zal Shafet, and apparently in the city of Zal Shafet there was a very good market for wine. There's a Tosfos in the Masechta Bava Metzia that says that the city of Zal Shafet was located in a very interesting place. It was between a place where there was a lot of wine and a country where there was a shortage of wine, and this was a perfect location where to sell wine. So the person who provided the wine, who, as I said, in this iska relationship, normally they share in the profits and the losses, but here, because this person gave this instruction, add the mati hasam, until the wine was delivered to that city, zol, the wine in that city dropped in price. Says the Gemara, even though normally, as I said a minute ago, in this type of a structure, they share in the profit and the losses, here, dinu hu de makabele, the owner of the wine has to take the entire loss. Because, since he gave these instructions, so it was done on his instruction, and therefore, he's held responsible. A machloikas rishayinim, if this din is unique to this situation, where we have here a situation where it was an iska relationship, but if it were a relationship of a buyer and a seller, that means if somebody buys something and he tells the person who he's buying it, I'm buying this item, with the intention of selling it elsewhere, and we know that that place where it's going to be sold, the price is high, but before he could take it there, the price in that location goes down. What will be the din there? The Reina Yoina says that, of course, the seller will not be held responsible. Otherwise, we'll never have any business in the world. We'll never have a situation where somebody will want to sell something to the buyer, where the buyer, if he can't make profit, could always return it. However, other Rishonim, the Rebbeinu Chananel, disagrees. The Rebbeinu Chananel says, indeed, the halacha would be the same under such circumstances. If the seller is aware that the buyer is buying the item specifically because he knows he could sell it elsewhere for a profit, and then that situation changes, the buyer could back out of the deal. The Nesivus wants to draw a distinction between karka and metaltlin, that if somebody buys real estate and then the price of real estate changes, he could back out of the deal. By metaltlin, the buyer cannot back out of the deal. Other Paiskim want to draw a distinction between a situation where it's they want to draw a distinction between if the money for the product was already paid for or not. Furthermore, says the Nesivus, even though our Gemara is teaching us that here the owner of the wine will be held responsible, that's only in the case that our Gemara is discussing, where the price of wine dropped and the wine was being taken to this place specifically because of the instruction of the wine owner. But let's say there was a Geneva Vaveda, if the wine was stolen or lost, then they would share in the responsibility because this person is no different than any Shomer. Ask the Gemara, Ibrahim, have a challah. If the wine became vinegar before it reached El Shafet, Mai, what will be the halacha? Who will have to take the loss? Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Kavan by Rav Kahana, when I was in the Yeshiva of Kahana, Amalon Chalaloi. If the wine becomes vinegar, then the owner doesn't take the entire loss. Or the like, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. This is not like what Rabbi Yosef Bechanina said. Because Rabbi Yosef Bechanina said, if the buyer did nothing to ruin the wine, we learned it at the beginning of the shir, and he expected that the wine would remain good, the seller responsible. Rather, he's saying that Allah follows Rabbi Chiya by Yosef, and both of them, both partners, share in the responsibility. If the wine becomes vinegar, the owner has to take the entire loss. Command, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. This follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, which Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, as we learned early in our shir, said that the spoilage of wine is not connected to who the owner of the wine is, because that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu treats the owner of wine, and therefore he will not be. Therefore, if the wine becomes vinegar, he still has to take the loss. Yoshin, if somebody sells wine that's old, it's Michelle Shtaket. The wine has to be from last year. Yaim Yoshim is 3 years. Tana, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that when we count the years in looking at wine, we look at Sukkos as being the time and understanding when the wine is good or not, because Sukkos is when the harvest of wine takes place. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Hamaycha Makam Chaveri. If somebody sells a lot to somebody else, they came a Kavam Makam Chaveri. And the way the Rashban explains the Mishnah is that the buyer and the seller agreed that one would be selling a lot, a parcel of land to the other one, but they didn't exactly talk about the exact size of the lot. So since they didn't discuss the exact size of the lot, therefore, the seller, could say to the buyer, I could give you the smallest size lot, which is an acceptable size, which we're going to discuss what is that shear. However, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that if a parcel of land is being sold, even if it wasn't spoken about what the purpose of the sale is for, one cannot assume that the lot is being sold for beis chasnas, because that is not the usual use of a lot, and therefore under those circumstances you have to give a bigger size. Ritva says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where it's understood that it's being sold as a beis chasnas. Says the Mishnah, so again, in those days, as will become clearer in the Gemara, when someone's son got married, they would build an extension to the parent's home, and the son would move in there. Or, if somebody's daughter who was married became a widow, or became divorced, and she was moving back to her parents' home, she wanted to have some sort of independence, some sort of privacy, so she moved into a separate apartment. The halach is, what is the minimum size? Boina arba amos l'sheish. It's the size of 4 by 6 amos. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. A small counters, and he says, Refus Bakri Huzer, such a house is fit for a barn. People can't live in such a small home. Harayt Zalassus Refus Bakri. Somebody wants to build a cattle barn. Says the Mishnah, what is the shear of a cattle barn? Dalar amos l'sheish, 4 by 6. Bayis katan, a small house. What is the shear of a small house? Sheish al ches, 6 by 8. Gadol, the size of a large house, is ches ser, 8 by 10. Traklin, the size of a traklin, which will be defined by the Gemara, is yud al yud, 10 by 10. Rumay, what is the height of a house? The normal height. We combine the length and the width of the house, and half of that combined amount is the height of the house. Rai l'davar, Rishim Gamliel Oimer, Kibinyan Heichel, likewise by the Heichel. Ask the Gemara. Lamalei l'misni, the Gemara points out the wording on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beis chasnas l'benoi, a place where if somebody's son is going to get married and he'll live, or beis amanus labitoi, or if his daughter gets divorced, where she will live. Ask the Gemara, listening, beis chasnas labnai labitoi. Let's talk about, combine it, beis chasnas for his son and daughter, or beis amanus labnai labitoi. Answers the Gemara, milsa agav orcha kamishmalan, the Mishnah is coming to teach us a din, tlaidaka de chasnala meida beichamua. Usually a son-in-law does not live by his in-laws. So a son moves into his parents' home after he gets married, not a daughter. So that's what the Mishnah says, Beis Chasnas L'Bnoi, and doesn't speak about Beis Chasnas L'Bitoi, because usually the Bitoi, the daughter, when she gets married, moves away from her parents, Why? Says the Gemara, K'niksiv, Sefer ben Sirai. And Sefer ben Sirai, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin discusses the Sefer ben Sirai. He was a person who was a very, very smart person, and he wrote the Sefer that has in it many divrei chachma. As Mefarshim say, even though the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin calls the Sefer ben Sirai a Sefer chitzonim, still says the Gemara, still say to Mepharshim, what it means is that one should not spend time on a regular basis learning Sefer ben Sirai, but to learn it on an occasional basis and learn from it its Divrei Chachma is certainly acceptable. And it says in the Sefer ben Sirai, Hakol shakalti b'kaf maznayim, I weighed many things on a scale, v'loi mitzati kama subin, the lightest thing I ever found was bran, straw. Have a kami subin, even lighter than that, is chosin adab beis chamav, is a son-in-law that lives by his in-laws. The kami chosin, even less than that, is oirich machnis oirich, if a guest invites another guest. The kal mi meir oirich, and even lighter than that, is meishiv dava b'terem yishma, if somebody gives an answer to a question before he really heard and understood the question. Shneimar, Meishiv Dava B'Terem Yishma, if somebody gives an answer before he hears, Ivlasi Lo Yechlima, it's a mistake and an embarrassment. So son-in-law doesn't live by his parents. It's only a son who moves into his parents' home. So the Rishonim debate, why indeed should a son-in-law not live by his in-laws? One pshat that the Rishonim suggest is, the Gemara in Masechet Kedushin says, there's a concern that the mother-in-law loves her son-in-laws. The Gemara speaks about the first son-in-law, but the Rishonim says it's really all son-in-law, and we're concerned that they may come to do something immoral. Another pshat is that it's embarrassing that if the son-in-law will have relations with his wife, and the in-laws will recognize that they had relationships, and it will be a lack of tznius. Another pshat is the son-in-law is allowed to live by his in-laws. Here we're referring to a situation, as was customary in those times, not in our times anymore, that there was erusin, and there was quite an interval between the erusin and the nesuin. And the halacha is that until there's nesuin, the husband and wife, even though she's considered halachically an eish esish, are not supposed to have relations. And what it's referring here is that they're living together when there was only erusin. There are a number of nafkaminas lahalocha, obviously between these pshatim and the rishonim. According to the last pshat, once there's nesuin, they are allowed to live in their in-laws' home. Furthermore, if they have their own private home, then the halacha would be that we don't have to be concerned about the embarrassment that the in-law, that their parents are aware that they had relations, and they would be able to be there. The Rishonim already speak that we know so is not the minig, and we know that daughter and son-in-law do come to their daughter's parents' home. In fact, perhaps they even come more than they go to the son's parents' home, to Chassan's parents' home. Why? So Mefarshim explained that if the in-laws are supporting the couple, so it's understood that that's why they're spending time in the in-laws' home, and the reason of chashad, which was, as I said earlier, the primary concern, no longer exists. There's a beautiful vart that I saw. The Ramei Shapiro said that he met the Bava Rebbe, the Kedusha Tzion, and he asked him, the Rashi says that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to marry, when he felt in Parashas Vayetze that it was time for him to marry Rachel, he said, Hovali Ishti. And Rashi points out, V'loi kal shebekalim enayim akeim. So Ramei Shapiro asked the Kedusha Tzion, why does Rashi use the words kal shebekalim? Why doesn't Rashi use the words pachash shebechusim? Said the Kedusha Tzion, our Gemara just said that a son-in-law who lives by his in-laws is considered the Kal Shebekalim. Yaakov Avinu was such an individual. He lived by his in-laws. He's by Lovin. That's why Rashi calls him the Kal Shebekalim. The Mefarshim explained why, what is the connection that all these things that the Ben Sira says are considered very inappropriate. He says, if we look at all of these things, they all start from very positive things, but then they could develop into negative. Again, straw comes from grain. Grain, we know, is a basic staple food, the most basic staple food item. Furthermore, a son-in-law, a daughter, coming from a parent's home, we know the importance of a parent's home. A oirich, a guest. Again, we know the important mitzvah of achnasas orchim. What the lesson of our Gemara, say the Mefarshim is, the Sefer Taras Chaim says this pshat, the lesson of our Gemara is that we, even if something has a very strong and positive inception, positive beginning, we have to look at the whole picture. And the whole picture is sometimes not good. You could start off as grain, but you could end off as straw. You could start off as a wonderful thing, a couple getting married, but they have to know where to live and how to live. You could start off as a guest, the tremendous mitzvah achnasas orchim, where you have to know where that comes, where that goes, where it's appropriate, and when it's where it's inappropriate. Rav Shmuel says that this shir is good for cattle barn. Rev Sparker, man ketani lo. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand this statement? Ikedam Rav Shmuel ketani lo, v'ikedam Rav Kiva ketani lo. And the Gemara explains itself. Ikedam Rav Kiva ketani lo v'akama. Af bishu Rav Sibaki, even though this size is a size that's fit for cattle barn, still, says Rav Kiva, pom mishadam oysa dirasoi ku Rav Sparker. Sometimes a person will have a house the size of a Rav Sparker. V'ikedamri, Rav Shmuel ketani lo. It's actually Rav Shmuel saying to Rav Kiva, v'akama, sheroitz latz Rav Sparker. If somebody wants to make a cattle barn, that's when he makes Arba Amosel Sheish, 4x6. But it's not a place for humans to live in. And as the Rishonim explained, what's the nafkamina between the two ikedamris? The nafkamina is that according to the first ikedamri, Rav Kiva will hold the size of a Rav Sparker is 4x6. According to the second ikedamri, he will hold that the size of a Rav Sparker is even smaller. Taklin, the size of a traklin has to be yud al yud. My traklin, what is a traklin? Kufsa is a pavilion, bevardi, which has adorned with roses. Ta'ani v'kantar, Tony, we learned in a brayse of a kantar, if somebody wants to build a kantar, shtei maser yud beis. It has to be a size of 12x12. My kantar, tarbitz apandi, the courtyard of a mansion. Ruma, what is the height of a house? Kechatzi orcha v'chatzi rochba. Raya l'dover, v'shim gamliel, oyme kibinyan haichal. Raya l'dover, man ketanala. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand the statement of the Mishnah? And as the Mepharshim point out, because the wording is difficult. The Mishnah should have said, v'shim gamliel, oyme raya l'dover. Or if it's, the words raya l'dover seem to be misplaced. And that's why the Gemara has two ways of understanding the wording of the Mishnah. Ikedam Rav Shim ben Gamliel Ketani Lo Vakama. Raya L'dover Minayin. How do we know that this should be the height of a binyan? Amar Rav Shim ben Gamliel. Hakel Kabinyan Hekel. We use the base of Migdash as the model. Ikedam Rav Tanakama Ketani Lo. If the Tanakama is saying it. Rav Shim ben Gamliel Asmukam Etama. The Tanakama said that the height should be combined, the length and the width, and half it. And Rav Shim ben Gamliel is questioning. Vakama L'Tanakama. And he's saying to the Tanakama, Raya Minayin, where do you bring a Raya to this type of building? Binyan Haichel. Because that's the way the Beis HaMikdash was built. Says Rav Shim Gamliel to the Tanakama, Oti Kula Amo Kibinyan Haichel Avdala, that everybody build their homes the same size, the same way they build a Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring a Raya from the Binyan Beis HaMikdash to a regular home. Tana, says the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Achayim Amrim, Ruma Kikaroisov. The height must equal the length of the beams that are laid across the width of the house. Vilema, ask them if that's what you hold is the height of the building. Just say Rume Karachvoy. Just why didn't the Mishnah Brisa just say that the height should equal the width if they're both identical? Answers the Gemara. Ibai Seima, Bayis Meloi Ravach. The amounts are not really identical because a house is wider at top than at the bottom. So if we would say the height is equal to the width, we would think the width at the bottom. That's why we specifically say the width at the top, where we had these wider beams. V'boy say mishum de ikabe kavi. The beams are really longer, because there are sockets in the walls in which the beams go into. So the width of the beams is really wider than the width of the house. And that's why he's being very specific that the height is not just the width of the house, rather the width of the beams, which is wider than the house, because you take into consideration the place, the sockets in which the beams will be put into.